Sport on RTE Radio 1.
It's 25 to 9. Good morning, Darren Fryhill.
Good morning, Audrey. Very exciting at the top of the Dubai Desert Classic. Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed tied at the top of that leaderboard on 17 under par. McIlroy, he's just birdied the par 5 11th. That's just the second birdie of the day. If I was to summarise this round so far and be really honest about it, he's been solid but unspectacular. 10 pars there and the two birdies and the rest are all pars. Patrick Reed seems to be his only challenger at this stage, playing some very good golf. 4 birdies. He's eagled the 12th there, although he has just drove left on his latest hole. So in a little bit of bother there, just looking down here on the monitor, that tournament being completed today because of weather delays. I'd imagine there's going to be a few twists and turns yet before they finish up. Some very exciting news for cricket in this country. The government has given the go-ahead for plans for a new national cricket stadium at the Sport Ireland campus. Now, Cricket Ireland CEO Warren Jutram has confirmed this development to RTE Sport. No details available yet in terms of the cost and the capacity, but the vision is to create a world-class facility. Warren Jutram has been telling me he hopes that the ground will be available to co-host the World Cup with England and Scotland in 2030.
In terms of cost, simple answer is we don't know yet. The contact we receive from the government effectively means that we now have the green light to develop both the architectural vision and the business case. And to move into your next question, who pays? Well, that's going to have to be a discussion we will enter into with the government. Built by when? World Cup in 2030. 2028, we have been asked by ICC to host an ICC qualifying event, or we think that is a realistic possibility, which means the year before 2027, we really need to be playing senior international cricket. And therefore, we need to be playing domestic cricket the year before in 2026. It takes 3 years for pitches to be built and to settle in Irish conditions, which effectively means we need to start building the green stuff this year. Our infrastructure should be commensurate with our status within the game. You know, Darren, when we host the world's biggest teams, it simply isn't appropriate that we're asking them to change in marquees. Our players are, you know, men's and women's senior players, and they were surveyed last year by the International Cricketers Federation. They cited and continue to cite facilities as the number one issue holding back our development as a cricket nation by comparison to our competitors. We're co-hosting a World Cup in 2030. We're going to be showing off our nation to a worldwide television audience of hundreds of millions. We need to ensure that we can hold our heads up high and demonstrate that, number one, we're capable of doing that, and number two, that our infrastructure is commensurate with the eyeballs on us.
Yes, some very exciting news, and good luck to them with all of that. Great to have the Allianz Leagues back over the weekend, and you can check out a comprehensive rundown of all the results and the reports on the RTE Sport website. Former Kerry manager and player Eamon Fitzmaurice joins me now. Eamon had a very busy weekend himself, travelling up the length and breadth of the country following these matches. Eamon, who caught your eye at the weekend?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be in Castlebar on Saturday evening, Darren, and it was a great game. You know, I think that both teams, particularly Mayo, you could see evidence of the earlier pre-season this year with the return in mid-November. It was a full-blooded contest, and it was really enjoyable watch for the last weekend in January and a first league game. I think what caught my eye really was the debutants on both sides did really well. I was particularly impressed with David McBrien for Mayo. He had a great battle with Damien Comer. I know last year James Horn was giving him a bit of time as well, but he had a quad injury and he didn't quite get going last year. But while Damien Comer played well, McBrien really matched up well to him, and he's a big, strong, physical player, and he's serious pace as well. So for Mayo going forward, if they get a new full back out of this league, it'll be certainly a hugely positive step for them.
Now, Kerry, the All-Ireland champions, went down to Donegal. I'm sure you won't be panicking just yet down in the kingdom, but we spent last week talking about subs. Was there a score incorrectly ruled over the bar in that one, a crucial score as well? Jack not too happy?
No, Jack was cranky afterwards. All right, look, Jack is the ultimate competitor, and I'd say he would have been disappointed Kerry didn't get something out of the game after going all the way up to Donegal, you know, being in a position in the first half where they were 6 points up and looked to be in great shape. But there was missed chances in the second half, and you know, Donegal, to be fair to them, staged a serious comeback to go from six down to one up without Kerry getting a score on the board. So there won't be any panic, no, Darren. But like I said, it was a long journey to get nothing out of, and I think the big takeaway from that game was the importance of the win to Donegal. And you know, that was clear afterwards in both Patrick McBrearty's interview, but especially in Paddy Carr's interview. You could see how much it meant to him. And he was even a bit emotional in his interview. And there's probably been a bit of pressure on the group and on himself over the last while as they were getting ready for the new season. So to beat the All-Ireland champions at home first day out was a great win for them.
Eamon, we're looking forward to many good weeks ahead. Can I finish by talking to you about the ongoing row over the club final? Kilmacud Crokes and Glen, the CCCC, they will be meeting both teams in the next 24 hours. We're expecting a development. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, it's a mess, Darren. Look, I'd have a lot of sympathy for all parties, really. I'd have massive sympathy for both clubs and for the referee and his officials on the day as well. You know, I mean, looking from the outside in, a replay would seem to be the most sensible approach, but there doesn't appear to be an appetite for that in Kilmacud, and the complications around the replay and when it would be on and how far down the road it would go, you know, is certainly making it more complicated. One thing's for sure, though, I don't think a boardroom is the place to decide any game, least of all an All-Ireland final. So you'd be hopeful that some resolution can be come upon, but at the moment it's not looking great, and like I said, it's a bit of a mess.
I'm reading between the lines. Are you opting for the replay if you were to be pushed on it?
Well, if I would see it as the most sensible approach, certainly, but you know, like I said, if there's no appetite for a replay in Kilmacud, that's going to complicate matters further. So I'm not sure, Darren, and I'm glad that I'm not the one that has to come up with the answers for it.
It's a complex one. Great talking to you, Eamon Fitzmaurice there. Elsewhere, Galway beat Dublin in the Little Ladies Football League, and Waterford and Cork played out a draw. Brighton knocked holders Liverpool out of the FA Cup 2-1, and unfortunately, Evan Ferguson, the young underage Irish international, went off injured. Very poor challenge by Fabinho. He's going to have a scan on that injury today. Irish international John Egan came to Sheffield United's rescue as his side drew 3-3 away to Wrexham. Egan's equaliser came in the 95th minute. Stoke beat Stevenage by 3-1. And just an update on the golf before I go. I can tell you it's still Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed locked on 17 under par. I'm off now to watch the rest of this one on the television.
Back to the telly,
it's
Darren.
All work, Mary. It's all work.
It is, of course. It's all research. Darren, thank you.